So what effect do you think a run by Ed Lee might have on this race?
Well, it would entirely reshape the whole calculus of the election. I think currently what you have is an open seat election where you've got 30 some odd candidates who've announced and nine serious ones who are in the race. And with ranked choice voting and public financing, it's essentially as wide open as a race can be. I think if Ed Lee gets in the race, it suddenly becomes a re-election, a fairly standard re-election race under ranked choice voting. I would say that first of all, no candidate has ever lost a ranked choice election in San Francisco as a re-election. That incumbents have done very well under ranked choice voting, and frankly, it changes the race from a sort of prospective, what can these various challengers argue they'll do in the future versus very much a retrospective vote, a referendum in large part on Ed Lee. And so it changes the whole calculation of the race, let alone what it does ideologically in terms of identity politics, in terms of the different interests at play. So, you're not just adding another candidate to the mix and sort of how that reshapes how the other candidates compete for the office, but because that candidate would be a fairly popular incumbent running for re-election, it changes the entire dynamics.
And so are you saying, do you think that he becomes the automatic favorite?
Yeah, certainly. He definitely is the front runner. Now the question is how long that lasts and whether his explanation to voters for why he didn't get in the race initially or why he's broken his promise to the Board of Supervisors. He's got to have a pretty sound explanation for him to be the front runner. But if he's able to do that, then yes, the race becomes one of an open seat race with roughly nine candidates to one that, in my view, the field will narrow pretty dramatically, and you'll be looking at him running, against one or two for re-election. So it just sucks that you're out of the room for a lot of the potential candidates.
Okay. So I know his broken promise is going to be very important to those supervisors who are currently running, but how important do you think it's going to be to voters? Do you think they're going to look at that as a negative, the fact that he said he would not run and now he is?
I think voters generally are very forgiving about politicians breaking promises because it's happened before. And so you have many elected officials who insist they aren't going to run for office who ultimately do. President Obama insisted he wasn't going to run for president, and spent quite a few months saying initially that he wasn't going to run, and then wasn't planning to run, and then the language changed and eventually became candidate for president. So it's not uncommon for somebody to feign interest in running and ultimately run. What's different in San Francisco is two things. One is that this is somebody who the promise that was made was not just with voters, it was to the Board of Supervisors. And so the appointment of Ed Lee was contingent upon him saying that he was going to only be an interim mayor. And so I guess the first thing is the extent to which voters perceive him as breaking his promise, not just to voters or changing his mind about running, but that there was somehow then calls into question how he was appointed in the first place. I think that becomes a problem for him. The second thing is, what people like about Ed Lee, the reason he's been so popular is because he's been seen as the anti sort of traditional politician, that he's come at this from a very different perspective, a long career in public service where he's a very effective manager and has approached the job as largely an apolitical one. And as such, we've had like essentially 6 months of the era of good feelings in San Francisco, where the board and the mayor have gotten along well, in part because this guy is not running for a re-election. And so part of what made the budget pass unanimously and the pension plan pass unanimously was that the perception was that this is somebody who didn't have anything to gain politically from any of these negotiations. And so the challenge becomes, I think for him, is certainly the last couple of weeks, as he's changed his tone about running, is that he sounds more and more like your typical politician. And again, that's not what people like about Ed Lee. And so I think he's got to explain to voters why he wasn't in the race to begin with, why he changed his mind, why it's okay for him to change his mind, how he's going to deal with the Board of Supervisors that may not trust him now, because in his first public act is actually breaking the promise with him that got him the job in the first place, and the unprecedented deal that he struck with the board, which was to change the ethic laws so that he could have his old job back, as well as he's got to explain who's behind the Red End Run movement, what they have to stand to gain and whether they really have pushed him into the race or not. So I think, you know, how he, if he ultimately decides to get in, he has an awful lot riding on his announcement, because I think people have a lot of questions, and there's just been this large void over the last couple of weeks as his language has changed from I will not run to I'm not interested in seeking the office to people are having conversations to I'm looking at it. There's just been a big void about what changed. And again, his opponents and other people in the city have proposed different narratives about what changed. And frankly, a lot of those narratives aren't in his favor in running in elections. So I think he has a lot to explain to voters and to the Board of Supervisors to explain why this change in, you know, change of heart.
Right.
And frankly, that he's got an awful lot riding on it. I don't think he gets a mistake. He doesn't get a mulligan on that explanation.